Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. I am Danny Lurie, your host, and so happy to bring you your team every day. And I made the decision after watching the game, covering the game, to do another Locked On Warriors bonus episode, let's call it, where I go a little bit into the Wolves and Warriors. And I don't want to make this too long, partially because it's going to come out on Sunday morning. Not that many people are probably going to catch it, but also because this is a kind of a different game. And so the biggest takeaway that I had was just the missing presence of Draymond Green. And thankfully for the Warriors, that has been a rare occurrence. Last year, he only missed two games. One was the suspension for game five of the finals, and the other was that game against Denver where Kerr basically decided to sit everybody. The year before, he only missed three games. Year before that, I think he played all 82, even though he wasn't a starter yet. So it's more of an abstract exercise to think about how the Warriors are without Draymond Green. And this game provided the opportunity to see a little bit of it in action. And the answer, at least from Saturday's game, was Kevin Durant can pick up some of the slack on defense. And on offense, it's just a fundamentally different team. And they're still really good. That is in no way a diminishing of like, oh, the Warriors are garbage without Draymond Green or anything like that. But they did miss him a lot. While I think the 30 assist streak is a little bit overhyped over the last couple days, it does still say something about their ball movement. And Green's absence was a major factor in that. Of course, Thibodeau and the Wolves defense did some things that helped prevent the Warriors from getting as many assists. But something I actually was looking into, Eric Malinowski mentioned it on Twitter and I started looking into it, was that this year the Warriors have a sky-high assist percentage. And so what assist percentage is it's the proportion of your baskets, of your made field goals that are assisted. And so the Warriors are, before tonight, they were over 70%. I think they were at 72. And that's insane. And so I was looking, oh, well, who was the most last year? And it was the Warriors last year too, but it was in the high 60s. I think it was 68. So the Warriors, despite having players like Curry, who's a very talented isolation scorer, and of course this year they have Kevin Durant too, who's probably the best isolation scorer in the league by and large, they are getting an overwhelming proportion of their baskets, both in the starting lineup and on the bench, through passes, through player movement, through ball movement. And not having Draymond on the floor was an issue there. And, you know, this team had some of those lulls. And I was thinking about it, even though it's not a usual time where he plays, when the Warriors started the second quarter in the first 4 minutes and 18 seconds, they didn't score at all. And that was a couple of different things. West missed some shots. Durant missed some shots. And the ball just wasn't humming in the way that it usually is. But you saw that throughout the game. And Curry, 17 in the third quarter, notwithstanding, because that was huge. And a lot of that was just Steph being Steph. They did miss Draymond for that sort of thing. Defensively, Durant deserves a ton of credit for stepping into that role. Six blocks are a nice approximation of his rim protection. You can also look at it through the player tracking sport view. The Wolf shot 2 of 5 when he was at the rim. I think at least a couple of those were blocks. And then he had a couple of blocks that were in other circumstances. He had one coming from behind on, I believe it was Andrew Wiggins. That was really impressive. And Durant has that capability within him. He has for a long time. And we won't see it that often in the regular season because there isn't really a reason to exert that much on a game other than a circumstance like this, because the Warriors, as has been noted in this space many times and in other spaces many times as well, they aren't really motivated by the regular season in that same sense. And that's part of what makes being 15-2, being the league's first team to 15 wins, so impressive, is that they're experimenting. And there might not be a better example of that experimentation than playing Anderson Varejao in the first quarter. And while Coach Kerr said after the game that he thought Anderson did a good job, I personally disagree. I'm sure I also don't have the same, let's call it, propriety obligations that Steve Kerr does, because Anderson Varejao is not we don't work for the same company, but he's just not that guy. He doesn't do that. But it also did help, through juxtaposition, explain how good JaVale McGee looked. And instead of talking about it myself at first, I'll let Coach Kerr say a little bit himself.
You know, JaVale got those two baskets late in the second or for second quarter, but it seemed just like his general hustle during that stretch. I mean, it looked like he was running a 40-yard dash every time you guys got a possession. I mean,
no, he's fast. And
I mean, you were looking for that kind of energy, I think, that wasn't there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, JaVale gives us that burst of speed. It's a different look, and obviously the ability to throw the ball up in a lob, and which helps our spacing quite a bit. And, you know, we decided to give Anderson the first look just because we felt like the matchup was pretty good. And I thought Anderson did a nice job, but JaVale changed the game with his speed and his leaping ability to catch the lob.
Is he getting to the point with how consistently he's kind of contributing that he's not? It's not as much a matchup-based thing, but you almost got to get him on the floor at times.
Yeah. He's. Every night. I mean, every time we've called on him, he's done a nice job, and so he's probably earning more consistent minutes. And he's a pro. I mean, he never complained early in the season when we weren't playing him, and he kept working. And you know, his minutes have been sporadic, but he never complains. He just plays, and the guys really enjoy playing with him too.
And something that my podcast partner Nate Duncan brought up during the game, which was a really good point, is that, and Kerr brought it up in that answer, is that he just runs a lot. And gravity, in terms of an offensive player, is often thought about as a three-point shooter, because it's easy for those of us who played at any level to think about, oh, if the guy's a good shooter, you need to get out on him, and so that makes it harder to play defense. But there is a gravity not only to being a good rim runner, which JaVale McGee is. Like DeAndre Jordan, if you ever watch the Clippers, DeAndre Jordan has a lot of gravity in that sense, because you don't want to leave him open, because if you leave him open, it's 2 points. But you can create more of that and more strain on the defense by sheer hustling. And McGee absolutely did that throughout his tenure, especially in the second quarter. And that it provides a different dimension on this year's team. It even provides a different dimension to a degree off of last year, because Bogut never did that, except for those sporadic things. Bogut, talented player, not trying to insult him. And Festus had moments. He was more of like that half-court hustle type of guy, where he'd set a screen and then he'd make a nice cut and do it that way, as opposed to an open court, just beat your guy down the floor and get there. And so McGee can open things up. And as was also the case with Zaza Pachulia, who, considering how often I criticize him for his defense, it should be noted that the Warriors defended, I think it was like 93 points per 100 possessions when Pachulia was in, which was the best of the starting five and pretty solid overall. I mean, very good overall. But that gets into a big problem that I have with the Wolves, and this isn't Locked On Wolves, this is Locked On Warriors, but it's important to understand in terms of what the Warriors do really well. And that's, Minnesota has Karl-Anthony Towns, an insanely special player, someone who has physical gifts that centers probably shouldn't have. But they play him, Tom Thibodeau is playing him almost all of his minutes with another traditional center. So playing him with Gorgui Dieng, playing him with Cole Aldrich in this game. And so what that does is it puts the Warriors in a position where they, or any opponent, where they probably are going to put their power forward on Towns. And Towns can do all right in that, but his biggest advantage is his uncommon shooting and quickness for a five. When you put him at the four, those guys are smaller, those guys are quicker, and so Towns can take advantage of that in the post, but that's a harder thing in the modern NBA with help and everything like that. That's a harder thing to take advantage of than something like quickness, because you can use that on any possession. You can use that multiple times per possession on cuts, on, you know, Towns actually one of the best guys, best big men in the league at coming off screens. And when you have a four on him, in this case it was Durant in many circumstances, Kevon Looney did a really nice job as well, it's harder for Towns to get to his spots and harder to take advantage of that. And so those minutes for Pachulia often lined up with Gorgui Dieng, who did not look good in this game. He struggled a lot just throughout to really make an impact. His stat line looks fine, but it belies just a shaky game overall, and he was not doing enough to deter the Warriors at the rim. And when they're playing Jang at the five, the reason ostensibly that they're doing that is to try to prevent opponents from getting to the restricted area. The Warriors got to the restricted area without too much of a problem. I think they had 24 shots there. I think it was something like 18 to 24 in the restricted area, and that's not good. That's not something you want for any team, and actually was better than Minnesota did there, despite the Warriors playing Pachulia, who's not usually much of a rim protector, though he did have a block tonight and had a couple of good defensive possessions. And mostly, you know, guys like Looney and Durant at the four. So that was a problem for them, that a trap that the Warriors do not often find themselves in. And I think back a lot to the series against the Denver Nuggets. So that was back in 2013, when George Karl was trying to figure out answers for that Warriors after they pulled that big up during that big upset. One of the things he tried was actually playing two bigs together, one of which included JaVale McGee. I can't remember whether it was McGee and Mozgov or McGee and Kostakoufos, but he started both those guys and it didn't work, just like so many other things didn't work in that series. And a big part of the reason is that you're not getting the spillover benefits. You know, generally when you're playing two bigs, you're losing something, and what you would be gaining is rim protection. Minnesota didn't do that, and it was in stark relief to the Warriors without having the right personnel still delivering it. And some of that credit, while he didn't have a block in the game, but he did a nice job, should go to Kevon Looney. He fought a lot. He was very aggressive just in terms of trying to get to rebounds, trying to prevent his guy from getting to the spot. That's incredibly difficult when dealing with somebody like Karl Anthony Towns. He did a good enough job. And then they also were very comfortable, shockingly comfortable, switching him in various circumstances and playing him more defensively in sort of that Draymond Green role, more in terms of switching than in terms of rim protection. He didn't do a whole heck of a lot of that. And Looney did a really nice job. It was a different challenge than he is often given, even though he also did play some center next to Durant. But he did well. And I decided to ask Coach Kerr about that after the game, and he gave I think it was a good answer. And so here you go. Did you get what you were looking for out of Looney in the start tonight?
Yeah, Looney was great. Gave us the minutes we wanted. Excellent defense. You know, he's just a guy who has a good feel for the game. He's a good rebounder. He understands NBA defense. You know, he stays high with his hands, and he doesn't bite on pump fakes, and he just does a good solid job out there, and I thought he was great.
It's hard to tell from a game like this whether that will have any lingering impact or implications for Looney and his spot in the rotation, but it's always good to have that sort of a positive indicator just in case. And I was listening to Matt Steinmetz on the postgame show for 95.7. He was talking about how indispensable Draymond is, and certainly true. And I'm not sure that I would have him as the most indispensable, but it's certainly arguable. And a big reason why was the insufficiency of the replacements. So you're asking Durant to do a lot defensively. No one can really do it offensively, especially because he does such a nice job with those other star players. So they did well enough in this game. It was another example of just being good enough to beat an inferior opponent when you have some advantages. This was a weird game in that both teams were on back-to-backs, were on the second end of back-to-backs, and the Wolves looked a little more tired at moments. And also, the Warriors deserve some credit because they actually used their bench more. Thibodeau is notorious for pushing his starters really far. In this game, he had three guys, Jang, Wiggins, and LaVine, who actually played more than 38 minutes, which is a lot. The Warriors had two guys over 38, but they were barely over. And then no guy on their bench played more than about 13 minutes. Iguodala, Livingston both played 22, 23. So even though the Warriors bench is not what it was last year in terms of overall depth and quality, they have enough guys that Kerr can trust, even in a limited circumstance, because Kevon Looney, you know, would normally be a bench guy, but he played 18 minutes with the starters and all that sort of thing. So the Warriors did a nice job of taking advantage what was in front of them. A couple plays where Zach LaVine just kind of fell asleep at the switch. Defensively, Curry got a nice three off of one of those. And there were a couple just plays where Clay got a nice cut or something like that. And the Warriors have gotten a lot better over the last few years at knowing how to take advantage of those kinds of mistakes. It's something to watch moving forward, because even though the best teams, the Spurs, the Clippers, the Cavs, the Celtics, if they happen to make the finals, are make fewer of those mistakes. Everyone always does. You know, no team is ever perfect. Watching the Warriors is probably a good example of that for people who just see every once in a while they just blow a switch or something like that. And any team worth their weight offensively has to be able to maximize those. And the goal is to make as many mistakes as you can, or to force as many mistakes as you can. But maximizing them, however many come, is a huge thing to help. And also can drive coaches crazy, can also lead to coaches pulling players unnecessarily. The one of those I'm thinking of is Coach Pop pulled Kawhi in Game 7 of Clippers Spurs 2 years ago. I think it was because he blew a switch. And so, you know, play it like that. If you can put a little bit more strain, maybe the opposing coach is going to make mistakes. So that was another takeaway from this game. Curry had that huge third quarter, 17 points. Durant was the player of the game, not only because of his offense, but, I mean, defensively, it was probably his best game defensively as a Warrior. Also threw in 7 rebounds defensively, 3 offensive, which was nice. I consider those more an aberration for him. 5 assists, and then, of course, the 6 blocks. So, good games for those guys. Nice job for the bench guys who played, other than Varejao. And one thing that I want to watch moving forward, and Nate made a couple comments on it during the game, we sat next to each other today, was this would have been a great opportunity to see a little bit more David West. It was on the tail end of a back-to-back. I don't think he played a ton against the Lakers off the top of my head. And we did see some of him at power forward, really at power forward. It was next to Varejao, which, ugh, that had some struggles. In the second quarter, in the same kind of spot, went to Looney and McGee, which was much more in line. But West is a player who is capable of much more than the Warriors are asking him to do. Even though he's on the older end, he certainly can. And so I expected him to get more into, like, instead of being around 10 minutes, to be around 15, 16 to pick up some of that slack. That didn't happen today. No idea whether Draymond is going to be back for the Hawks game, but that's something to watch because West not only is somebody who can take up more of that when need be, but also the possibility of seeing how he can mesh with various combinations with more starters, because he plays primarily in that unit at the beginning of the second, the beginning of the fourth, that has Durant, Livingston, and then whoever else is available is probably a good way to put it. And he can do more than that. And so the Warriors have enough time, still a long way left to go in the regular season, much less the playoffs, before figuring this out. But when you get these anomalous games, when you get these opportunities, it's great to use that, like they did with Kevon Looney, to see what you have in a guy. And I'm a little bit disappointed that they didn't do that with David West, but that's the way these things go. It was also notable that McAdoo didn't play at all, because he did dress for this game. Clark was inactive, and so was Damian Jones, who's still coming back from everything. He's on assignment with the Santa Cruz Warriors. And McAdoo didn't play, even though they needed a ton of big man minutes. But McGee really did pick up that slack. If he had struggled in the second quarter, maybe they would have given McAdoo some shots. And we'll have to see whether this has any sort of impact. Kerr indicated a little bit before the game. He was talking with Tim Kawakami about a couple of different things, but one of them was kind of the idea of, like, well, if we need more guard help later on, then we'll think about it. And I was wondering at that point, because the Warriors, you know, the NBA has 15-man rosters. Well, everybody on this team, other than JaVale, has a guaranteed contract. I don't doubt for a second that ownership would be willing to eat one of those other big men, wouldn't be JaVale, eat one of their contracts if they have to. But both McAdoo and Varejao have time with the team. The coaching staff seems to like them quite a bit. So how they're going to handle that, it was, you know, maybe an indication that they are willing to start changing the roster. And while that isn't Kerr's decision, it's Bob Myers's. Kerr is certainly in the conversation for all that sort of thing. So something small, something to consider. Trying to figure out exactly what I want to do for whether I want to do a true Monday morning show. Working through that, I think it'll maybe depend a little bit on what happens over Sunday to see if anything happens around the league or anything like that. I am going to do a kind of a month wrap-up. That's what I'm thinking for Locked On Warriors, is I'm going to do a month wrap-up and do both the schedule analysis, preview, and four factors together. That's the current idea that I'm going to do. If that sounds cool to you, Let me know if that sounds bad to you. Let me know. That will be someday the Warriors have off this coming week, probably right around, you know, the end of the month or the beginning of December. But a lot of fun tonight just to see a different combination of players out there. The Warriors really did have to deal with some challenges there. And even though Minnesota gave them a few kind of lifelines in that way, they still played more. The Warriors still played more than well enough to win. And if you have any feedback on the show, good, bad, indifferent, you can reach out to me at Danny LaRue on Twitter, LeroUX, or DannyLarueNBA@gmail.com. You want to support the show? There are a lot of different ways you can do it. You can subscribe, download every episode, leave a rating, leave a review, and you can also tell your friends, tell other people who you think would enjoy the show. Really do appreciate it. The support has been great so far. And you can also check out our sponsors, Mack Weldon, with the code LOW, and then SeatGeek with LO Warriors. And you can check those out, and I'll of course be talking about them in the weeks to come. So thank you so much for listening. Take care and make it a great day.